Okay, I think we can get started. It's a short session and we have a lot to show, so I want to make sure we have time to present everything and save some time at the end for questions. So today's session is Deploy and Manage Microsoft PPM or Project Online. With me today is Rob Hirschman with Progility. When we designed this session, we really wanted to show you how to deploy and manage Project Online and Microsoft PPM from a technical perspective, like how Project Online shows up in the admin UI, but we really also wanted to provide you with best practices from the field on how to manage a Project Online deployment, which is why we've invited Rob here to share with you some of those best practices. I'm going to just start with a quick show of hand. Who has or is currently using Project Server on-premises? So close to 50%. It's a good number. How about Project Online?
Ooh.
As well. So I see some people raise their hands twice. So we're going to start with a quick agenda. So I'll cover Microsoft PPM or Project Online from an admin perspective, like if you're a tenant admin on Office 365 and your organization decides to deploy Project Online, what does it mean for you as an admin? What's the difference with it between Project Server on premises and Microsoft PPM Online? And I'll follow that up with a short demo. And then finally, so Rob is gonna cover all the deployment best practices based on actual deployment in the field. First of all, since a lot of you know Project Server and also Project Online, I just wanted to go over some of the quick differences and similarities between the two. From the get-go, when we started the first release of Project Online a few years ago, we really wanted to make sure that the core feature set was the same between the two products. We took the feature set that Project Server provided, that's been providing for years and years, and we wanted to provide that as an online services on Office 365. It's the same functional configuration when you create views, custom fields, security settings for the most part, to make sure that customers who were familiar with Project Server could easily transition over to Microsoft PPM Online. We have also a very large user base of people familiar with the project client, project professional, how to manage your schedule in the client. So it was very important for us as well to make sure that the project professional client could connect to a Project Online instance. So all of that made the transition easier for customers who were familiar with the project client or even Project Server on premises. On the other side, in terms of differences, we have some cloud benefits. You've probably heard this, and you will hear this like a bazillion times this week. In terms of benefits of the cloud, the Microsoft cloud, in terms of security and compliance, lower IT costs, access anytime, anywhere. I also wanted to point out the fact that we're going to have much more and more features deployed in Project Online in the next couple of months, in the next couple of years, and it's going to take a long time, basically, to be packaged up and delivered as the next version of Project Server. So if you really want to be using the latest feature, I highly recommend considering Microsoft PPM Online. There are a couple of key differences, though, that I wanted to point out in terms of implementation between Project Server on-premises and Microsoft PPM Online. Two of the main ones are the programmability and extensibility if you want to develop apps on top of Project Online. The second one is reporting. I call these two out because we have actually dedicated sessions this week on these two topics, how to build reports and dashboard for Project Online. It's session BRK 3011 on Friday, and a session on programmability, BRK 3010 on Friday as well. And I highly recommend attending those sessions if you want to explore these areas. So I'll jump right ahead into the demo. If you are a tenant admin for Office 365 and your organization decides to use Project Online, what does it mean from an admin perspective? This is the new admin center. I don't know if you are familiar with the new experience, but if your organization decides to go to Project Online, obviously the first step would be to purchase that service. Project Online is an add-on on top of Office 365. We've just recently repackaged our licensing SKUs. I'm just going to quickly go over this. It's been already presented in a previous session, and you can stop by our project booth in the expo hall if you want to go over all these differences. But pretty much very simple, we have three levels. Project Online Professional is the Project Pro client, and it comes also with Project Online as a web application. On the lower end of that scale, we have Project Essential, which is mostly for team members who want to fill out timesheets at the end of the week and just collaborate on projects, so a very lightweight SKU at the bottom of that scale. And at the top of the line, we have Project Online Premium for portfolio analysis, resource capacity planning, demand management, and all these features. I won't go into much more detail, but basically, when you're in your admin center, whether you have a enterprise agreement or you're just purchasing services as you go, you go to that section, you can search for Project Online. There are a lot of services available here. Let me just look for Project Online right there. There we go, we have Essentials here. We have Project Pro later and Premium. So when you acquire those licenses, then you can go to your user section and basically select the people in your organization who are going to use Project Online, Microsoft PPM, and just assign those features. As you can see here, some of the users have been assigned a Project Online license and some are not. After you are done purchasing your service, your licenses, assigning those to users, the first step is to create a project web app. Project Online, or Microsoft PPM, is a SharePoint application. So to do that, you actually need to go to the SharePoint admin center. This is a little bit tricky here. When you expand the admin center, you see all the different workloads, Exchange, Skype, SharePoint, Yammer, and so on. Project is not there as a dedicated section because it's a SharePoint application. So you just switch to the SharePoint admin center in that case. And as you can see, you have a list of all of your site collections. After you've acquired a project license, what you can do when you create a new site collection is either create a team site, like a vanilla SharePoint site, or you can create a site collection with the project features enabled. So you have two options at this point. And you have to talk with your business groups and whoever is deploying project and how many instances they want. Do they want like one big instance for everyone or different instances for each business units? You can either create those site collections from scratch, or if you already have team sites with documents and people are used to working in those environments, you can actually select an existing site. For instance, here, I can select the site collection that's already existing and just turn on the project features on that site. So you have two options. Create a brand new site collection with project features, or select an existing SharePoint site and turn on the project features on that site. Just a quick word in terms of benefit of the cloud here that might not be obvious at first. So when we first released Project Online a few years ago, due to some infrastructure limitations, you were restricted to only 3 PWA instances per tenant. We've done a lot of improvements on the infrastructure, both in terms of storage and performance and reliability, and gradually increased that limit to 7. And very recently, we actually lifted that limit completely. So, I mean, we have lifted that limit to 10,000 instances. So you have a little bit of room to grow here, as you can see. So a lot of customers, obviously, and Rob can chime in also here, they create different instances like for training or for pre-production, or they can have different instances for different business units. This is when we launched Project Online, we also introduced a simplified security model called SharePoint Permission Mode, but we also still provide the classic project permission mode that you might be familiar with Project Server on premises. If you want to switch between these two permissions mode, this is also here that you do that. I'm just going to pick an existing project site collection here. And if you open the settings for that site collection, you can switch the permissions mode between I'm going to pick another one. There we go.
Always a demo.
Am I connected to the internet? That would be.
Are you?
I should be. Okay, so here in that section, when you expand the settings for that site collection, you should be able to switch between SharePoint permission mode and project permissions mode. So that's the second step. So first step, you purchase the licenses, you assign the licenses to your users, and then second step, you create your project web app or web apps if you want to create multiple apps. After a while, the service is running, and then you want to make sure that Project Online is healthy for your organization. So this is where, if you're a tenant admin, you're familiar with the service health dashboards. So you can go ahead, expand that service health. And again, you don't see a Project Online or Microsoft PPM row here because we are a SharePoint workload. So you can just select that SharePoint Online row. And if you want to take a look at the history, you see that the SharePoint Online service has some issues, and if you're familiar with this, you can just click on each day and see what happened if it's relevant to your tenant. We actually had, and I didn't do that on purpose, but if you click on September 21st, there was an issue with Project Online in that on that day. So if some of your users reported a problem, you can check if this applies to you. You can read the post-incident report and follow up on the next step if it's relevant to your organization. So this is where you can get some information about Project Online. The last thing is the Message Center. You can, as a tenant admin, we send you information about what's going on ahead of time proactively for all of the different workloads that you have. And here, again, we have a couple of messages that are relevant to project. We've recently announced the new subscription that I just showed. So you can send that information out to your PMO admins. There's also some information down the list here. So back in August, we announced that there's going to be some changes to the way project professional connects to the service. So 6 months ahead, we announced that you will require Project Professional 2016 after that day to connect to online. So you have 6 months to plan ahead and make sure that your client requirements are fulfilled. And finally, after checking the service health, so imagine someone reports a problem, you check the service health dashboard and you don't see anything relevant, or you check your message center and there's nothing relevant to Project Online, you can go ahead and file a service request for project. So again, here, if you have access to the service, you should, those are the service requests that I've already filed, and I don't have any. Let me just go back here. Support. So on the left, you have the list of basically feature areas or workload that are available for support. If you have projects, you can just expand that section. We have support for project, the client, obviously, and then Project Online. You can go ahead, fill out a form, tell exactly the problem you're facing, and then follow up with support. So these are the main areas where Project Online or Microsoft PPM as a workload shows up in a tenant admin. I'm going to just go over back to the presentation. And hand it over to Rob.
Thank you. That gives you a little bit of background into the technology side of it in terms of how the instance gets set up, how you get access to it. What I'm going to talk about is PPM deployment best practices. So now we're kind of on the ground, working with clients, the feedback we've gotten, and having done 37 or 38 project online deployments and about 150 project server deployments. Raise your hands. A couple questions for you. A Microsoft PPM deployment online, is that easier than a project server deployment on-premise? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, good. A Microsoft PPM online deployment reduces the technical resources required to deploy. Some yeses, okay. Anyone think no? Okay, we'll call it yes. And a PPM online deployment fits nicely into an Office 365 strategy? So far it sounds like a sales pitch, right? Shouldn't be. And finally, a PPM deployment can add value to my organization's ability to plan, track, manage projects, resources, and all of our work. A lot of nodding heads. So the reality, when we get on the ground and are actually deploying this with clients, is it easier or harder than Project Server? It kind of depends. It depends on what the specific business process needs and requirements are of the organization. We find a lot of organizations have started with Project Server years ago, and they did some very basic things. But when they start deploying Project Online, it gives them an opportunity to back up, reassess the requirements, and learn from what they did with Project Server, and then redeploy the technology. So oftentimes, it's the best thing to actually go back and review your requirements, meet with the business stakeholders, because you've probably learned a lot in deploying and managing a Project Server environment. A lot of things you can move forward, and that could actually make your Project Online deployment a lot more useful or valuable to the organization. The second one reduces the technical resources required. Absolutely, it does. And we have a little chart we're going to show you and what kind of resources and what kind of time you would expect to spend on online versus on-premise. But there's a but there. And again, that depends on the requirements. If upfront you did a Project Server deployment years ago and you did kind of out-of-the-box configured with some basic reports, now you go forward with a more enterprise-level Project Online deployment, there may be more technology resources required if you're doing more custom integration or reporting. So it kind of depends in that area. Obviously, the Office 365 strategy and it fitting in very nicely. A lot of people like Project Online because it fits a lot tighter than Project Server did with their other applications. And finally, the value to the organization. As Jean mentioned, you know, the functionality is essentially a one-for-one with online and on-premise. This is the opportunity to really add value to the organization. And it all begins with what that value proposition for PPM is. If we look at PPM as a platform, we have our strategic portfolio management on the top left, and our tactical day-to-day blocking and tackling of project scheduling, resource planning, time tracking and reporting on the bottom right. Really, PPM brings all this together in a functional application that delivers a lot of value. So if the first conversation is, hey, it's a SharePoint application, well, yes, as a technology, but not really as a process. It really has very little to do with SharePoint. It has a lot more to do with how you decide on your projects, invest in your projects, manage your resources, manage your work, and report off that entire platform. So organizations that actually go to PPM online typically see a pretty positive ROI. If you're trying to kind of sell this internally to the organization, why do we move to online or PPM as a whole, you can see some of the value points here. Reducing the cost of project management, 20 to 30% by streamlining business processes and automating. Improving resource utilization, this is a huge one. I'd say 98% of the clients we work with are looking at value in this area. They've got a finite pool of resources, lots of work, and they need the ability to go to management and say, my resources are under or overutilized. I need more people to get the work done in the time you've given me, or I need to shift work out. And PPM, one of the key value points is that improvement of resource utilization, because now you have visibility into that. The third one is reducing your spend on non-strategic projects. This actually gets to everything on the top left. Project Online provides an intake and demand management module that allows you to actually capture all your requests, rate, rank, and score those requests, and then start to determine what the right work is to do. Analysts will tell you it's 50% about making decisions on the investments you make and 50% on delivery. If you decide on the wrong projects, even if you execute well, you're not bringing value to the business. So if I've got a $20 million portfolio and I realize that 20% of that is non-strategic, I can immediately remove that. And then I'm saving several million dollars by not doing projects that don't align with our business strategy. It's having that visibility and transparency up front. That's what a lot of organizations like. A lot of people using Project Server today are much more on the tactical side, but you can start to move over and kind of baby step into the strategic side and add a lot more business value. And finally, gaining visibility into the entire project portfolio. There's actually a Forrester report you can go out and download. Project Online, actually, Forrester did a study and looked at several clients, 300% ROI and a payback in an eight-month time frame for a typical organization. So there's a lot of value, business value, that PPM Online can provide. And you can see it's really a process-driven application. So when we start working with clients, the first thing you want to do before you look at the technology is start to evaluate what your business needs are. And we break these up into what we call application business capabilities, or ABCs. There's really 9 core areas that PPM can provide value into. Everything from your project intake process, What does your pipeline look like? What is your demand management process or your workflow? How are you making decisions on incoming projects? What are the right projects to do? And then what are the resources related to those so you can determine what work you can and can and should and shouldn't do? Schedule management, which is typically why a lot of people move into Project Server and Microsoft Project anyway, to plan and manage your schedules in a collaborative way, that has its own set of requirements. And you can look down the list, resource management, which ties into demand management. These are all interconnected. They're really kind of interconnected tissue. And it's hard to plan for a PPM deployment without thinking about the requirements of the organization, determining which of these things you want to turn on and off, how well they align with your business processes, and the value you're looking to get from each. Because if you break it down to these, then that'll drive what you're going to do around the technology, what you're going to do in the process, and how you're going to drive the change you need to. So what we always say, and you'll hear this is a typical consulting line, there's really three core elements to any enterprise system deployment. There's people, process, and technology, right? It's the same thing with PPM. The people side is all about how are you going to drive change and new behaviors, because a lot of the things you're going to be asking people to do are fundamentally new in the organization. The SharePoint and the look and feel, that's always the easy part. The harder part is to get people to enter the data you need to make the business decisions. Whether it's the team members updating their time, the project managers building and baselining schedules, the resource managers evaluating resource performance, or the executives really going in and looking at real-time dashboards. So the first component is driving change. The second component on the process side is now you need to implement that change across your organization. And we'll talk about some implementation strategies that have been successful at other organizations in a couple of slides here, but process is all about implementation. And finally, the technology part is about automation. Now I've got the people on board, I've got the processes lined up, now I'm going to automate certain processes using PPM. The nice thing about Project Online is it's a very flexible platform. If I talk to five clients, they manage resources in five different ways. PPM provides multiple different approaches to resource management. There's not just one way to do it. So you really need to sit down, evaluate what the tool does, evaluate your process and what you're looking to get out of it, and then plan and deploy the system based off of that. You're not going to get an out-of-the-box solution until you plan it out and determine what value you're looking for. So when we look at that, it really has to do with how do you implement the technology. So I'm going to start out with a Project Server deployment and what that looks like. And in any Project Server deployment, we typically have what we call four work streams. The top work stream is all about solution strategy and delivery. That is, why are you doing this? Why are you implementing this product? How are you going to implement it? And how well is it going to align with the business needs of the organization? Whether it's the PMO, whether it's your product development organization, your R&D and engineering. The nice thing is Project Online is designed to support any kind of project you have out there. Cab driver today, or the Uber driver, actually asked me, he's like, well, what kind of projects does your system manage? I told him, any kind of project. Really doesn't matter. We have construction and manufacturing firms, engineering firms. We have a State Department of Transportation that manages 30,000 projects a year in a PPM system. The project type doesn't matter. You still need to have a strategy and a plan forward. So the first part of that is strategy as it relates to the application. The second layer down is now we're going to look at the tool. From a PPM application perspective, what are we trying to do? How do we want to configure that application? And what value is that application going to bring me as it relates to my strategy? So the tool starts tying in that second work stream. The third one is about system interfaces, and we find that any PPM system is going to interface with different applications. It could simply be Active Directory to feed your enterprise resource pool or to have single sign-on. It could be Exchange Server or Exchange Online for notifications and reminders. We have organizations that integrate with their HR system to keep resource information up to date in PPM as it's updated in their PeopleSoft or their HR system. SAP maybe for your financial system, or Dynamics tying CRM pipeline and professional services automation directly into PPM. So you want to start to define what those touch points or interfaces are going to be between PPM and other applications. What really makes PPM an enterprise application is those touch points. People get glued to it because it provides them with information that helps them do their jobs. And typically that information is in multiple systems today. The fourth work stream, and this is the one that most people start with and they should actually finish with, is the technology work stream. And that talks about what you're going to be doing from a technology infrastructure perspective. What's the IT platform? How's it going to integrate with 365? How are you going to be licensing and doing license management? A lot of the things that were mentioned before, that is your technology work stream. So if we look at a typical PPM deployment for a single organization of 100 to 200 people, average timeline is about 90 to 120 days from the time you actually start your planning. You bring a team in to work with you till you're actually gone live, people are trained and actively using the system. And what you can do is you can start thinking through those iterations and mapping out each work stream based on your organization, the business needs in those nine areas, and where you're headed, what some of your business goals are. Did I go back? Hold on. So when we go to an online deployment, the solution delivery strategy is exactly the same. You still have to do the planning. The application workstream is exactly the same. As was mentioned before, it really is the same application online and on-premise. The system interfaces are the same, but. So we mentioned there are some differences in programmability and reporting. You're going to learn more about that in some of the sessions that are coming up tomorrow. But it's essentially the same level of effort. You're just doing it in a different set of mechanisms. Friday sessions, I'm sorry. Got it, yep. And then finally, the technology architecture, this is definitely the area where it's going to be reduced. It reduced in certain areas. So when everybody said, yes, it's easier, this is the area where it's going to be easier, unless it relates to system interfaces. And then it's just going to be different. So this chart actually talks about the technology. If we just break down that technology work stream, some of the differences. On the left-hand column, you'll see all the key different process areas, all the activities you would typically do as a part of a project server or a project online deployment. We have enterprise architecture planning and alignment. We have our farm level planning, server planning, the installation and validation of the technical environments, the software updates, things like integration with Exchange Server. We can go farther down that list, integration with Active Directory, designing and building out workflow for your governance processes, designing and building out reports, which you'll learn more about Friday, reporting dashboard design and development, and finally systems integration. And you can see that blue dotted line that's there. On-premise, all of that is really required from a technology perspective. When we go to online, only the lower level ones, the ones below the blue dotted line, are the ones that are core requirements. We get to online, all that stuff at the top really isn't required anymore. So what we can see is the value and the benefit there. We can reduce our technical burden during the deployment by anywhere from 25 to 30%. Those resources aren't going to need to be actively part of our project because the platform is part of Office 365. So the answer, yes, there's definitely a yes there, and we would agree with you on that. From a support perspective, once you've actually gone live with the application, you're going to need to have resources to support this. And most people ask us, hey, how many people do I need? How many FTEs? The answer really is it depends. It depends how many users you have, where they're geographically located, what activities they're doing. If you have 2,000 users and there are 1,800 are submitting timesheets out of 15 different countries, you're probably going to need to have localized admins in each area because 90% of the support of the system is functional. It's working with end users for any challenges, troubleshooting, enhancement requests they have. That's PMO function, but it really should map to your broader organization. The technical IT support is about 10%, and that's where when we're on-premise, we talk about updates and service packs. We talk about troubleshooting and break fix, and then any kind of custom reporting or integration. When we move to online, that's going to shift. We're definitely going to need fewer resources on the technology side, as you can imagine. So really some best practices here in red. The technical troubleshooting and break fix, it's a lot of times it's an admin on your side teamed up with a Microsoft partner with a support agreement. And if you get to a point where there's a software-related issue, opening up a case with Microsoft. And that custom workflow, integration, and reporting, that doesn't go away. That's still a technology-related work stream. But we can kind of reduce that to maybe 10 or from 10 to 5% and shift some of the effort more on the application side, which means we can start to get more value. We can maybe push the application out more rapidly. We can start to get different groups adopting it more quickly because we can apply those resources in another place or just hold back and spend less of the technical folks' time. So on average, an online deployment reduces the technical resource requirements after you go live anywhere from 5 to 10%. So if you look at maybe a 200-hour estimate or 160 hours a year, you can be reducing that by anywhere from 2, 3, 4 days. So there is a reduction in the amount, and a lot of the issues end up being responded to by Microsoft directly. As you saw on the admin panel, a lot of that's communicated proactively. I can open a support issue, and I think over lunch today we actually talked about that. A support issue went out on the 21st. The resolution was done by the 22nd. If you were on-premise, you'd have to actually open up a premier case with Microsoft, wait for the communication, communicate back and forth. It would probably take you a week to get everything figured out, and then they would actually come up with a solution. The benefit of the cloud is they're solving a problem for one, they're solving a problem for everybody. So if it's a problem to you, there's a good chance it may impact other people, so Microsoft is going to be on top of that more than they would in an on-premise. So you get a lot of benefits from a scalability perspective in the cloud. So some best practices, if you're thinking about rolling this out, whether it's net new or you're actually doing a migration, I'll talk about migration in a second, think about it in releases or iterations, almost like an agile project, but not an agile project. You want to roll it out in functional releases based off of business user groups and functionality that makes sense. You may have a product development group that comes to you and says, I really need to do scheduling and resource planning. Let's make that iteration one. And then we're going to let that group use it for a while, learn from them, and maybe find another similar group that has the same requirements, or work with that group to identify what they want to do next. Maybe they want to do advanced analytics. Maybe they now want to do portfolio management and demand management or project intake. You can use that as your iteration too. Move forward, work with that group, and maybe start to bring other teams on to that basic scheduling and resource planning as part of iteration two too. And finally, you can move to a more mature state, a future state, and that really is why you should have a roadmap, a really solid roadmap that says, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, here's what groups we're going to do it for, and here's the business value it's going to provide. So really starting with those processes and the business needs and a good solid roadmap can get you a long way. Also, and I'll mention this, that a lot of the successful PPM deployments, and you'll hear about those, there's a session at 9 a.m. tomorrow, we have two clients that are actually speaking on this, they start in the business, they don't start in IT. It's okay to start in IT, but you need an IT business partnership really to be successful. So you'll hear tomorrow how a new product development, an R&D group, started an initiative, actually deployed a standalone instance without IT's involvement, made that successful, and then the broader organization started seeing the success of that and said, hey, we've got this other tool we're not really using that well over here. Why don't we just take Project Online and expand that as our enterprise solution? That's where it's driven by the business with IT teamed up and supporting it. A pure IT initiative can work as well, but the really big successful ones we find have a business project manager. They have somebody who understands the business leading the project, or a business and IT project manager kind of joined at the hip through the effort. Stakeholders you have from both groups, and you really want to ensure, again, that you're measuring business value. That's the key. What value you're going to get so you can get the resources. And by resources, I mean money and people. It's very hard to do these deployments without money and people because they take time, they implement change, and you're going to have money to support it and people that are going to buy into it. So we find that IT-only PPM deployments have a much lower success rate. They tend to not have long-term adoption versus ones that are used by the business. It becomes a business-critical application. So even if you're starting in IT, see if you can partner up with someone in the business that can see value. The marketing group, new product development is a great area to start in, research and development. A lot of them have kind of structured project management processes, but they're not automating those in any way. It's a great opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to deploy the system for two groups, IT and new product. We're going to go forward and deploy based off their requirements. So what most organizations that are successful with PPM online have in common, they consider PPM to be strategic. There's a tactical element to it in getting the job done and getting the information, but it's really something that's strategic to the business. It's something that maybe the CFO, the CIO, or the VP of product development have visibility into. If it's driven at that level, you can drive the change you need on the process, the people, and the technology side, and be very, very successful. They view PPM as a multi-year investment. It's not we're going to spend 8 weeks deploying this, and then it's going to just disappear, right? You have to invest in the people that are going to support it, in the PMO, and the IT side from a technology perspective, and that may be your 365 administrators or your SharePoint guys, which is just fine, but it is a multi-year investment. You can look at a kind of a 3 or a 5 year strategy around rolling it out. They do have an IT business partnership, as I mentioned, that's really important to showing business value. They dedicate resources to it, resources being money and resources being people, internal and external to the organization. It's really important. They always have a vision of some kind. We want to roll this out because it's going to help us reduce our expenses, increase our project management capability, make us more competitive in the market, or increase our resource utilization, things like that. And they always understand that PPM involves change. It involves culture change, process change, and technology change. The good thing is Microsoft's made it a lot easier around the technology side, so you can focus more on the people and process and let Microsoft worry about the technology stuff. But don't forget, technology is still an important part of deploying this, as with any system. You will need technology resources, just a lower number of them, a lesser amount over time, and just a little different skill set. So key to this again, PPM, when it's seen as an organizational driver, it can be successful. Even if you have a short-term need, just want to put all our schedules here and do reporting, think about the bigger picture of how PPM can add value so you can get the resources needed to be successful. So if you're just thinking about getting started, if you're on Project Server today, a lot of organizations have said, hey, how do I migrate to Project Online? A lot of companies we work with have kind of drawn a line and said, we're going to keep all of our old data in Project Server, and starting January 1st, that's going to be our live Project Online system. And they take that database, their Project Server database, and they use it as an archive. That's the first strategy, is kind of use this as an opportunity to start fresh, refresh your configuration, and do some planning. And there's also some tools out there by some third parties that actually allow you to migrate your data, your Project Server data and your configuration, into the new environment. One of the questions came up, I think, we've got 3,000 projects, and we want to migrate them all into Project Online. Well, the first question is, do you really need 3,000 projects that are old in a single instance of the tool? Because that can lead to some challenges in and of itself. So there's some strategies around building an archive database, maybe building a data warehouse where every 3 to 6 months you take projects that are in online and you archive them off into that database for your historical reporting, but you keep your live data in Project Online. Lots of different ways to do it. So it's not just a technical question. It's really a process and a deployment question. Where do you want to go with it? But get some executive support. I don't think we could both say that.
Yeah.
Again, successful organizations have an executive sponsor. It could be a VP of R&D or product development. It could be a CIO. You've got to have an executive sponsor to implement any kind of a new solution that's going to impact the organization and have any kind of change. Bottoms up, if needed, you can start with, hey, we just got to get some tactical stuff going. But at the same time, use that to sell it to the business, sell it to the executives. Show them some dashboards and some reports and go, what if we could get an instant view of all your projects and your resource capacity all in one place? Wouldn't that be great? Then they can help you fund the initiative and support the initiative from a sponsorship perspective. You want to address the current pain, obviously, if you have some current challenges and pain today, but think longer term. Build that roadmap out. Think about where do you want to be in 3 months, 6 months, a year or 3 years, and how PPM is going to help you get there. And that gets into that multi-year strategy. Understanding you may not have the money now, but little baby successes along the way can help you get the money and access to the resources you need to be successful. If you just go to the CIO and say, I want to do PPM because it's going to help me do better scheduling, I need $1 million, they're going to laugh at you, right? But if you go in and say, look, give me $60,000 to get started, I'm going to prove out that I can help reduce the throughput on our project managers, make them more efficient, and actually give them 2 days of their week back, which means I'm actually going to have them manage more work more effectively, they may say yes. And then you can use that as a building block to help get more funding and more support and show baby successes. Finally, there's a lot of free resources out there. There's online training. Don't use that as your deployment friend. Use it as a reference material, almost like a book. You're going to open it up and learn about it. But leverage resources that are out there, whether it's business partners like us or Microsoft, that know this, that can get you up and running a lot more quickly, but share best practices. Organizations that are attached to a partner in some way have about a 70 to 80% chance of greater success than ones that don't. I think there's some stats on that, right? And finally, keep PPM as an initiative out of the hands of infrastructure. And I don't mean to offend anybody who's in the infrastructure group today, but if infrastructure is driving it, they're generally the ones that are doing the fewest projects in the organization. They're doing more lights on, operation and maintenance work, and project work. You want this to be focused on organizations, business organizations or IT, that do a lot of projects. And if you're only tracking 20 or 30% of your work, it's not going to add a lot of value. In fact, it's probably going to add more overhead than it's actually worth. So focus on organizations that are very project-centric, and this can add a lot of value. So finally, work to build a business case, plan and budget for the initiative. It's like any other business-driven project you have and any other application you're trying to deploy.
Very good. Perfect. Right on time. We have 5 minutes for Q&A. Feel free to walk up to one of those microphones. I think they're on, right?
We have microphones. The mics. You have a question here?
So I'm going to repeat the question. So the question was, do we envision any kind of backup and restore feature for Microsoft PPM Online? I know this has been a request for many times now. This is a feature available on premises for Project Server. It's not available online yet. One of the reasons why we had to basically cut that feature is because online, in a multi-tenant environment, this is a feature that's very process-heavy and intensive. And we don't really have control over how customers would set it. A customer could potentially say, I want a backup of my 10,000 projects every minute. And it's going to impact other customers. So the reason why we had to step back and unfortunately hide that feature online is because one customer could potentially impact the experience of other customers. So we are still looking into a way to provide a similar feature while maintaining good performance and reliability for our multi-tenant environment. Someone
Yeah, so you mentioned that you were going to be providing updates to Project Server 2016 for on-prem, but it sounded like there are major updates. That's a little different than SharePoint itself, where they're going to have feature packs being rocked down. Do you see yourself moving towards that direction at all, where you're going to have more incremental every other quarter updates to the on-prem instance?
So we don't have a roadmap yet on like how to deliver additional features to Project Server 2016 on premises. Mm-hmm. Yes, we still have the vehicle of like delivering cumulative updates and for breakfast patches and stuff like this. We don't have yet like a public roadmap of additional like feature packs for Project Server 2016. We are very much focused on Project Online right now in a much more agile way as well. Like we want to try things out online and see how the feature gets adopted, how people actually use it, and how useful it is for them. And then, yeah, if we have like a good usage and retention for those features, then we can think of packaging that up for either the next major version of Project Server on premises. But we are very much focused on Project Online right now. Question here? Do you have like
the question is the tiered users licenses, the essentials for the team members, and reporting for them versus an executive? Is that the question?
Yeah, I mean the main reason why we came up with the Project Essentials license, which was the previous name was Project Lite. Is because we have some very large customers who wanted to deploy timesheets specifically for thousands of people, and they said the other licenses were just too much for that demographic. So we came up with that lightweight or currently like $7 a month license specifically for that use case. That was an actual need from the field. So I'm going to repeat the question because I don't think it's recorded. So the question was, if an organization has a Project Server deployment on premises with a lot of configuration, including custom fields for reporting, after moving to online, will they be able to do the same type of reporting? The answer is yes. I mean, the custom fields infrastructure is the same online and on-prem. You can, as Rob mentioned, either start fresh and take a look at all the custom fields you have on-prem and see if they all still make sense and start again online. Or some of the migration tools, the third-party migration tools that we talked about, could do some automatic migration of this configuration. Now, the main difference in terms of reporting, again, we have a dedicated session on this on Friday, is all of these, all of the data, including custom fields, are still available online, but through OData. So we have OData feeds for the list of projects, the list of tasks, resources, and everything you can think of. So the reporting strategy is going to be a little bit different, but the information that you provide in the custom fields will be available.
Exactly. Yep.
Excuse me.
Question over there.
Hi, how are you? I have a couple of questions, actually. Does PPM provide versioning for custom fields? And the second question is, can we download our baseline version of our schedule?
So. Yeah, we do not provide versioning for custom fields. If you update a custom field definition, it's going to override the previous one. The second question was, can we download a baseline of a project? Is that what you?
Baseline version of our schedule, the project plan. Let's say the first published project plan.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So you can still. Because we use the project client, the project professional client to open and save and create projects in Projects Online, you have access to all the functionalities of the project client. So you can save a baseline of a project. You can save multiple baseline, by the way. So you can compare with the initial. Yeah. Yes, you have a follow-up.
Actually, the problem is we are working on the on-premises. So the problem is, let's say if we have done the multiple baseline, and if the project manager deletes some tasks, so that baseline task is also deleted. So we cannot actually able to see that task in our dashboards. So this is the problem we are facing on right now.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that exactly, but we also have, I don't know if you know, we have this concept of protected baseline and open baseline, if you will. So you can set up the system in such a way that the project manager could not erase or override some of the baselines. This might be something to look into, but I'm not aware of this problem. Maybe we can follow up offline and see if there's a problem here. Question here. Very good question. So the question is, what's the long-term vision or integration between Microsoft PPM Online and Office 365 groups? What I can say is we're looking into it. I know it's a little bit of a cop-out, but I mean, we're obviously looking at every opportunity to, again, fit even better with the rest of Office 365, like we have thousands of engineers coming up with new features every day, and so we keep an eye on what's out there and Planner and groups and all these new features and how they could add value to a PPM deployment. We don't want to add features or integrate with service X, Y, and Z just to, you know, check a box and say yes, we integrate with that. We really want to make sure that it fits answers a need for our customers. Question over there. A follow-up. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the question was, with Office 365 groups, when you create a site, you get a group. And is it going to be the same for a project? Not yet. We're looking at this from a different angle. Right now, when you create a site, you get a group, but only if you pick specific site templates. Like if you create a team site, you get a group. But if you create a project site, you don't. So we're looking at other ways to do that. Like do we need a group for each project, or do we need a group for the whole instance? Like we're looking at all these different scenarios.
Excuse me, did the question. Subscriptions include Professional Pro licenses for the desktop?
So the three subscriptions that I showed, here. So the one on the left, the Online Essential, is really that lightweight subscription for team members to fill out timesheet. This one does not include the client. The other two do. One more question after,
yes.
And last question.
Yeah, okay. Yesterday, Raman Sharma announced external user support, and
yes.
That we are supposed to assign licenses to those external users. Will this be done via the admin tenant portal, or where, how will this happen?
We have Raman in the room.
Raman is here.
He's here. Okay. So there's going to be, I think the question was recorded on the mic. So there's going to be a dedicated session on this on Friday? Okay, there's going to be an overview of more PPM functionalities, and we're going to talk about guest access and support for external users.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, everyone.